This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's Cashing Out, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Dustin Sweetelson here, you there. Appreciate you hanging out with us all night long on SiriusXM Channel 158, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app, radio affiliates across the United States of God Bless America. In case you missed it, Thursday Night Football's in the books. The Falcons with a win, 29-28. Your final score there. The NFC South just got a whole lot more interesting as after that loss for Tampa Bay, they moved to 7-7 on the year. They're now minus 135 to win the South. The Carolina Panthers down to plus 105. It's basically a coin flip between those two teams. More on that a little bit later in the show. But I do want to attack the board with our next guest. He is Stuart Durst. You know him, Monotone Football on X, handicapper, Pass the Prop podcast, and he joins us on the Progressive Guest Line. Stu, I appreciate you doing this as always, my friend. Things looking more up than the Washington Wizards these days, hopefully for you. I guess we include the Commanders in that. But I want to get your thoughts on some of these games. And one of the biggest ones we have is that AFC showdown with Buffalo going to Foxborough. The Bills are laying 1.5. The total's 49.5. If you're going to attack this matchup, what would you look at here?
Yeah, I mean, I like the Bills in the game, honestly. Earlier in the year, we saw the Patriots pull off the win in prime time. It was impressive. It kind of legitimized that run that they're on. Drake May in the MVP conversation. They look like one of the best teams in football. But I do think we've also seen them kind of maybe hit their high point in market on the season. I think a lot of people are almost even shocked that they're underdogs, that they can get them plus money against this Bills team. But they've kind of evened out. They've kind of solved some of their problems as well. And one of the most notable matchups for me in this game is going to be the lack of Milton Williams. I think he's arguably one of the most underrated defensive players in football. When you look at this Patriots run defense, they hadn't allowed a 60-yard rusher all year until he went out. And since then, they've had some pretty bad problems stopping the run. They've been a bottom five rush defense since he went out. They have a great secondary, right? We look at, I would say that's probably their biggest strength. They play a lot of man coverage. They got Christian Gonzalez, Carlton Davis, Marcus Jones in the slot. The problem is the Bills are probably the least reliant passing team on their wide receiver core. Like, okay, congrats. You can shut down Keon Johnson out there. Well, guess what? He also got benched for a couple games as well earlier. I mean, Josh Palmer's you're going to take out. Okay. Like, they've had problems with tight ends all year. Dalton Kincaid gave him 100 yards earlier in the year. I would expect another good game from him. I just think the Bills are kind of going to be able to do whatever they want. If you can stop James Cook, if you can slow him down on the ground, I think that's when you can beat them. But obviously, once again, losing Milton Williams is pretty big. But there is one spot I do like a lot on the Patriot side. I'm going back to Stephon Diggs. I took over 4.5 receptions. I took over 51.5 yards. He cashed both of these against them earlier in the season, had his best game of the year. You can talk about narratives all day long. Everybody loves a revenge game. That's really fun. But what I like is the schematic advantage he has in this matchup, right? When you look at how the Bills play defense, they're one of the most zone-heavy teams in football, and they're one of the most cover two heavy defenses in football. They keep their safeties back. They look to eliminate explosive plays, which they do at a top five rate on the year, and they make you beat them underneath. When you look at the current version of Stephon Diggs, he's not necessarily this amazing man beater. He's not going 50 yards downfield at a time. He's beating you over the middle. He's, you know, short, intermediate, reliable target for Drake May. And while Drake May has been one of the best deep passers in the league this year, I just don't think he's going to have as many opportunities. The Bills know this. They knew it in that first matchup. They're going to play back and make you beat them underneath. He's going to get Taron Johnson in the slot. He's not been very good this season. Diggs has ran 70% of his routes in the slot over the last three games, which also means he avoids Christian Benford, who plays outside. He's only lined up in the slot three times this year. So a lot of good things for Diggs. People on Twitter talking about the money. He's going to get some incentives at the end of the year. That's all fun in games, but I think this is a great scheme matchup for Diggs to have another great game.
He's Stuart Durst. Check out his Substack, Monotone Betting at Monotone Football, just one L in football on X. Does an awesome job with all of his breakdowns. Every sport, by the way. He's not just a football guy. He's one of these dudes who actually breaks down everything. And the detail of that alone should sell you some people on subscribing over at Substack. So let's talk about what else you like coming up this week. Carolina against New Orleans. That just got a lot juicier following the Buccaneers losing on Thursday Night Football. I'm looking at this one right now, Stu, and I'm seeing it as a 2.5-point spread. Minus 120, though, on that with Carolina laying it. Totals 40.5. How do you want to look at this game?
Yeah, no, I like Carolina. Obviously, like you said, this game just got a little bit more important for them as well, obviously. I mean, you got, if you're a Carolina future holder right now, congratulations. You timed the market perfectly. They are looking good. And I want to talk about Bryce Young, and I want to talk about Bryce Young and wins. Because when they win this season, you're going to notice something very obvious. Bryce Young does not throw the ball very much. The games that they win are the games where that running game can take over. And what I like about this matchup is I've been fading the Saints over these last couple weeks, and it's always been on the ground. Their rushing defense is not good. We've seen back-to-back-to-back teams exploit them, most recently the Dolphins. I played a bunch of Tua unders in that game, right? Because what I noticed is, once again, like the Panthers, when the Dolphins win games, Tua does not have to throw the ball that much. He went way under despite a perfect game script right here. And when you look at the Panthers, I think they're even more equipped to run the ball all over the Saints team. We know how good Rico Dowdle has been. Chuba Hubbard off of the bye week now, getting even healthier. He's been awesome. He just had his best game of the year. There's been some great coach speak about Hubbard. I think he could be a little bit underrated. His line is kind of in the 40s right now. But ultimately, I don't have to want to be able to pick between these two running backs. They're both awesome. I know they're going to run a ton. What I want to do is I just want to take Bryce Young unders. Because when you look at Bryce Young this season, in the 7 games that they've won, he's only gone over his completions number twice this year. He's only had 30 passing attempts in 2 of their 7 wins so far this year. And even in some of their blowout high level scoring games, you look at that Rams game, both teams putting up a ton of points, still didn't go over this number. They're going to be a ground oriented team, a ground focused team, unless you absolutely force them out of it. And guess what? I don't really think the Saints are going to be able to do that. Their offense isn't that explosive. They're not able to maintain these long drives. That's why they allow a lot of great rushing performances, is because they just lose the time of possession battle every week. So I honestly think the Panthers are going to come out here. They're going to run the ball early and often, and I think they're going to get a win against the Saints. And I don't think Bryce Young is going to have to pass too much. So I love the Bryce passing unders, and I like some Chuba Hubbard rushing overs as well.
Stuart Durst is with us, Monotone Football Handicapper at Monotone Football on X. Monotone Betting is the Substack. All right, I'm looking at a game where I feel like the over's in play, so I'm curious how you would handicap this game. Maybe it's side, maybe it's total, maybe it's player props. But the Ravens laying 2.5 at Cincinnati, totals 51.5. Ravens defense still has a lot of issues. The Bengals don't play any defense. Burrow's healthy. Is there anyone or anything that jumps out to you in this matchup?
Yeah, no, that's a good call right there. I think the one concern I would say is the Ravens offense has just looked brutal over these last couple weeks, really, no matter who the matchup against. There's one clear position group, though. I bet against it when these two teams played last, and I'm going to go right back to it. I like Isaiah Likely in this one a lot. And honestly, I like Mark Andrews, too. I bet them both in their last matchup. They both went over. If you ended the season right now, season's done, completely over, the Cincinnati Bengals would have had the worst single season performance against tight ends in the last 10 years. The season's not over yet. We have time to add to those numbers. That linebacking crew has been absolutely dreadful this season. Isaiah Likely had a really nice 40-yard catch in their first matchup. And what stuck out to me so much was that 3 different guys on the Bengals all called it out. Lively was in motion. Everybody spotted it. They pointed at him. Multiple guys motioned, you got to get him, you got to get him. And he still crushes them over the middle. I think that encapsulated their season so well, which is these guys, even they can see what's going to go on. They know you're going to target them over the middle. Every team does it, and they just can't stop it. So Likely is a wide receiver playing tight end. He's going to get one-on-one matchups against those linebackers. And man, the Bengals have just been so bad against tight ends. I like his 35.5 receiving. I like his longest reception at 17.5. And maybe he even gets a touchdown with a little bit of revenge from what the NFL just did to him last week.
Now, I'm totally with you. I bet both of them earlier today. At worst, you're going 50-50, but I think there's a higher chance they both get over the number. Chatting with our buddy Stuart Durst, Monotone Football Handicapper at Monotone Football on X. Monotone Betting is the Substack. Let's look at a game with another big total. Lions and the Rams, and Detroit has no one playing in that secondary. LA's laying 6 at home. The total's 54.5. What do you think the best targets are here?
Yeah, I almost never get to passing yards props this high. I love Matthew Stafford this week. Give me 277.5 passing yards and give me longest completion over 38.5. The Detroit secondary allows the highest average depth of target in the league. They play a ton of single high coverage. They play a ton of one-on-one man coverage, even with all their guys injured. They don't care. It's a very weird strategy, but they have not adjusted it all year. They're going to send their guys out there one-on-one on an island, and that is a terrible idea against Davante Adams and Puka Nacua. I think Matthew Stafford's going to find a deep ball in this one. He's obviously one of the best deep passers in the league. He has more snaps under center than any quarterback in football. They allow the most yards per target against under center quarterbacks. He also does play action the most in football, and they're the fourth worst team against play action. I think Matthew Stafford is really going to pad that MVP case under the lights, because this is going to be a killer game. Obviously, a lot of narratives involved. And like you mentioned, that secondary has absolutely nobody. I think Matthew Stafford is going to look phenomenal.
I love to hear it as someone who has Stafford 55-1 for MVP. You're our MVP tonight. He is Stuart Durst. Check him out on X at Monotone Football, at Monotone Betting on Substack. Dude, we got to do this again sooner. You're the best. The breakdowns are tremendous. I encourage everyone to definitely subscribe to the Substack for Stu. Appreciate it, dude.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm excited. Let's run it back before the playoffs. Let's do it.
Oh, no, we're doing that sooner. We're doing it sooner than the playoffs. Our guy Stuart Durst kills it. All right. When we return, we will hear from the head coach of the Seahawks, Mike McDonald. What are his expectations at quarterback if he does, in fact, see Philip Rivers under center for the Colts? Hear from him next on Cashing Out.
Here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back at it on Cashing Out, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. Appreciate you hanging out with us all night long. SiriusXM Channel 158, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app, and radio affiliates across the United States of God Bless America. In case you missed it, the Atlanta Falcons came back to beat the Buccaneers 29-28 Thursday Night Football. As Kyle Pitts has a monster day, 11 catches, 166 yards, 3 touchdowns. He was 110-1 to have 3 touchdowns in this game. If you bet that at Dustin Sweetelson at VSiN Live, let me see that ticket. I had Sean Tucker, 35-1 first touchdown. We got home. We got a little lucky. I thought Jalen McMillan was in the end zone. They ended up ruling it not a touchdown. Tucker ends up pounding it in from the goal line. And we cashed that. We cashed Atlanta plus 420 as we hit the air. We also had Bijan Robinson from a couple days ago, over 36.5 receiving yards. A very nice day when it comes to that. In the NBA, though, we had a 2-0 day as well going into our final one, which was a Malik Monk bet. Did we end up getting there on it? Malik Monk cashes. Wow. All right. I'm normally up here lamenting about a really rough day, so I don't want to be too obnoxious here, but I believe that's like a 6-0 day here, 7-0, something like that. I got to do the math on it with all the live bets and all that, but that is a fun day. That's a fun day of betting. Can you tell my mood's better? But back to the football. The biggest thing coming out of the Falcons for me, and we talked about the implications for Tampa a little bit earlier, because they've shortened up to minus 135 to win the South. You can get plus 110 on Carolina. Dave Canales, I think, is in the mix for coach of the year right now. But for Atlanta, Kirk Cousins looked awesome. 30 of 44 for 373 and 3 touchdowns. Michael Penix hasn't looked like that one time this year. And I know he's hurt. I know he's going to be out for a while, major injury. But you got to be second guessing things if you're the Atlanta Falcons with the way Kirk Cousins, who is clearly not at his peak performance levels from a few years ago, what is he like, 37, 38 years old, somewhere in that range at the end of the career here? And he looked awesome, distributing the football, protecting it, making great decisions. They got lucky on a couple fumbles. I will point that out. But I thought Kirk Cousins looked awesome. And I think there's going to be a team next year that takes a chance on Kirk Cousins to like battle with a young guy to see if they're ready next season and see if Cousins has a little bit juice left in the tank, because he looked really good. And that leads me to Michael Penix and just questioning how good he actually is. So that's where we stand with Thursday Night Football. We will hear from Todd Bowles following the loss, and I'm hearing that the language is rated TVMA, and not the TVMA stuff I used to watch with the fuzzy screen and the multiple colors and squinting and feeling like you can see a private part of a young lady or maybe an old lady. I don't even know. Someone of age, okay? That's what I mean by that. All right. I took that down a weird turn. All right, let's tackle the top stories in the NFL. It's time for the three-point stance.
The top stories in football.
We want some more! We want some more! We want some more!
Every single day.
Ice up, son! Ice up!
This is three-point stance.
Hey, I'm just here so I don't get fined.
We'll play intramurals, brother.
Yeah, all right, let's get into it because our lead story, it continues. The Indianapolis Colts, according to ESPN Stephen Holder, who's covered them for a long time, they are, quote, prepping quarterback Phillip Rivers to start in week 15 against the Seahawks. Hold on. I understand he knows the offense. Him and Steichen go way back. He's been watching the film closely from afar. My man hasn't played since 2020. He is 44 years old. He is a grandfather, okay? He's been a man for 4 years now at 44 years old, according to Mike Gundy. You mean to tell me he's going to show up week one, go up on the road to Seattle against that defense? Arguably the best in football. I know we all hype up the Texans and the Broncos and some of the others. Seattle's right there, guys. Seattle's secondary is incredible. They are everywhere. It feels like every time I turn on a Seattle game, it's some other dude picking the ball off. A man Worry shortened up for Defensive Rookie of the Year, the safety out of South Carolina. They've got dudes all over the place. Julian Love has returned from injury. Like, they are jam-packed back there with dudes who can turn you over and force mistakes. If I'm Indy, I think it's a mistake to throw him out there this week. However, Mike McDonald, the head coach of the Seahawks, he spoke about the idea of facing a 44-year-old Phillip Rivers this week.
It's the NFL, man. You know, it's like every week is different. Finally, we had something kind of crazy happen this year that wasn't expected. So, as opposed to last year with the power going out, and I felt like we had something going every time, every week last year. But that's kind of it. I mean, just if anybody can pull it off, it's him. And guy's probably one of the best competitors in the history of the NFL. And I'm sure he wouldn't do it if he didn't feel like he was ready. So we're getting ready for him like he's been playing the whole time.
I mean, he's doing it because he misses playing the game, being around the boys, and he's sick of being at home with his 400 children. What are you talking? That's why he's doing it. Every guy who retires, they miss the locker room. They miss the competitiveness. They miss these opportunities to prepare like this. He's getting to live out the dream of every retired NFL player ever. So that's why he's doing it here. The number's 13.5. The total, 42.5. Give me the under all day long. I'm seeing 43 here at Circa. I like the under in this game. I don't think Indy does much offensively. And I think Seattle is just going to call off the dogs at some point. They're not looking to put it on the Colts, who I think are going to be fired up and competitive with a little bit of juice, playing potentially for Phillip Rivers here. Shane Steichen's 8-1 to the over in December in his career, but I'm not touching that. He's 3-7 against the spread. Mike McDonald, 11-5 to the over as a favorite, 5-2 against the spread as a home favorite, 6-2 to the over. But again, I can't bet the over with Phillip Rivers or Riley Leonard or Brett Rypien possibly playing quarterback here for the Colts. The next story in our three-point stance, it's here in Las Vegas where Geno Smith did not practice earlier today for the Raiders. That means potentially Kenny Pickett getting a start, taking the ball against his former team, the Philadelphia Eagles. Right now, we are looking at a game where the Raiders are 12.5-point underdogs. Sorry, down to 11.5-point underdogs following this news about Geno. Total sitting at 39, 38.5, depending on where you shop. The OC of Las Vegas is Greg Olson, and he said he likes what he sees from Kenny Pickett.
Positives, you know, he had, I think, 6 or 7 completions in a row down the stretch. He managed it in a very difficult situation. He had two-minute situations and scored 10 points. So it was good to see. He's had some rapport, obviously, with Shed, you know, running the show team and the scout team in practice over the last, you know, 6 months. He's got a lot of work with Shed. So that was good to see those two connect. And, you know, so it was, you know, he's just done a good job and just stayed involved.
If it is Kenny Pickett, I do think it's an upgrade for Ashton Jeanty receiving. Going up against Philadelphia, 5th most receiving yards per game to opposing running backs. But Pickett is not as cavalier with the football as Geno. Geno's kind of a gunslinger at times, wants to push the ball, wants to take some chances. Not afraid of an interception as we've seen this season. And I think Pickett comes in, he's more of a guy who wants to manage the game, not turn the ball over, move the chains, pick up chunk yardage here and there. And I think because of that, Genty, with this matchup being good for him and them just wanting to get him involved as a playmaker, I think he can go over on his receiving yards this week, Ashton Genty. Pete Carroll's just 3-6 covering the number this year as a dog. 4-2 to the under on the road. Nick Sirianni coming off that loss. Let's see how he does here. 22-14 against the spread as a home favorite. 2-6 covering the number as a favorite of 10-plus points. Sirianni also 10-4 to the over as a home favorite of 7.5-14. I think the over could make some sense in this matchup just because I think the Raiders' defense is so bad, it could be a tune-up game for the Philly offense to figure out what their identity is going to be the rest of the way. And then finally, a scary story in Pittsburgh, where Steelers edge T.J. Watt was hospitalized earlier today for a lung issue. Mike Tomlin met with the media and had this to say about this situation.
I'm a little bit, cautious about what I say because I'm not a medical expert. But to make a long story short, he was experiencing some discomfort when he was at the facility yesterday. And so we took him to the docs and, you know, they're going through some procedures. He stayed overnight in the hospital. He has a lung situation that's being addressed. I think he has some testing and so forth ahead of him this afternoon, and that's all I know at this juncture. He and I communicated last night. He was comfortable, and that's all I have really at this point.
Can you tell us?
His status for Monday night is really up in the air. I think what transpires this afternoon is going to provide more information for us. I just don't have a lot as I stand here today.
Yeah, they don't play till Monday night. Right now, looking at that game, it's a 3-point spread. Pittsburgh's laying it. Total is 41, so a little bit down, 1 point down from the 42 opening line. But if T.J. Watt's not playing, I mean, that defense, they struggle to stop the run. They have a few guys who can still get after the quarterback, but I think it's a really good matchup for Miami. I like them catching the 3 right now, 3.5, depending on where you're looking. But it's tough to take Tua in the cold, but without T.J. Watt, I don't know what that defense does for you because it's not a lot of guys who are being successful at doing their jobs. Also, a good matchup for Jonnu Smith on the other side against his former team. I think he makes some sense from player prop perspective going up against that Miami defense. As the official horse racing partner of VSiN, First Bet is built for bettors who demand more. First Bet isn't just about placing a bet. It's about helping bettors of all levels with handicapping tools that provide data-driven insights to help you make smarter bets. First Bet's in-app tools give you win place and show probabilities for each runner so you can quickly and easily identify good value plays and improve your ROI. Right now, you can take advantage of their limited-time $250 sign-up offer. But to claim your bonus, use promo code VSiN250 when you sign up in the First Bet app or at firstbet.com. That's promo code VSIN250. When we return, can Shedeur Sanders make it interesting against the Bears?
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's Cashing Out, VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. Dustin Sweetelson here, you there, and appreciate you being with us all night long. SiriusXM Channel 158, YouTube TV, the VSIN Watch app, radio affiliates across the United States of God Bless America. If you miss any part of the program, you can always go back and download it wherever you get your podcasts. And by the way, it's free 99 wherever you get your podcasts. We had a great conversation in hour number one. Larry Hartstein from Sportsline gave a few bets that he liked earlier this hour. My guy Stuart Durst, awesome when it comes to the player props. He had a few that made a lot of sense. Incredible breakdowns. I suggest going back and downloading the show wherever you get your podcasts and check out those conversations. But it's Thursday, which means it's my time, my Friday, where I look ahead to everything going on this weekend. And we're going to tackle all of these games in the National Football League. And I think there's a lot of people that want to know what Shedeur Sanders is going to look like this week. Good or bad, by the way. I think there are still people who are doubting him despite an awesome performance. And then there's some people who are hyping him up like he's going to win the MVP next season. So I think we can meet somewhere in the middle and admit that there is some potential with Shedeur Sanders. It's not fully there, but it's intriguing. It's certainly intriguing. And they have a matchup with the Chicago Bears where Chicago's laying 7.5. The total is 38.5. And Shedeur Sanders found out this week he would be the starter for the rest of the season. He was asked earlier this week about trying to win the Browns starting quarterback job, not just for this year, but for next year as well.
Yeah, that's a long, deep thought. Like, that's not in my focus. My focus right now is the team we're playing ahead, the Bears. So anything past that, I'm not really focused on, honestly. I'm thankful for it, but I'm not content, you know, with my situation, with everything. And we're leading this team.
It's a great response by him. Looking at this game, I really like the under. I actually think Cleveland's worth a play plus 7.5. I think their defense shows up on the road at Soldier Field. You know, we're in the middle of December here. Feels like sloppy conditions could be in the mix. And because of that, I anticipate a really low-scoring game. If you look at Chicago, they tend to play close-scoring games. Last week by 7, they lost. The week prior, they won by 9. Before that, it was a 3-point game, a 2-point game, a 4-point game, a 5-point game. They're generally pretty close games. And I think Shador's shown you enough with the way that he can maneuver in this offense and make good decisions and protect the football potentially. He could put Cleveland in a spot to be in this game late, but I think the under is the play because I do think while the Chicago offense may not put up monster numbers against Cleveland, I also think on the other side, Chicago's defense could slow down Cleveland's offense from putting up huge scoring totals. Maybe they're settling for field goals, but I think the under 39 is the way that I would look. Kevin Stefanski, 7-1 to the under versus the NFC North, 5-1 to the under as a road dog of 7.5-14, 16-21 against the spread as a road dog overall, which is why I'm going to stay away from that Cleveland number. Ben Johnson's 8-5 covering the number overall this year. Roma Dunze was limited in practice for Chicago. Cedric Tillman has a concussion and a rib, did not practice earlier today. David Njoku didn't practice earlier, neither did running back Dylan Sampson for the Cleveland Browns. So I kind of like under. I think I'm going to get there under 39 with the Browns and the Bears. A big boy this weekend that will very likely decide the AFC East is the Buffalo Bills circling the wagons and going to Foxborough, Massachusetts, where they are 1.5-point road favorites. The total in this game is 49.5. And for Buffalo, they've won this division so many years in a row. They've been dominating since the exit of Tom Brady. They do not want to see this. Again, New England taking what has been theirs for a while now. But Drake May and company are in a really good position. They're coming off their bye. They have not been tested all that much. And when you look at the Buffalo Bills offensively, there is nobody to trust on the outside. You can trust James Cook, Ty Johnson, who I bet on his over receiving yards yesterday. You can trust the two tight ends, Dalton Kincaid and Dawson Knox. But at wide receiver, who is helping out Josh Allen? That's why in this matchup, I do like Allen over on his rushing yards. I believe it was 35.5 when I bet it. I think he's going to have to call his own number. He's going to have to take control of the situation, and he's going to have to, if they're going to win, will this team do a victory on the road at the Pats? Mike Vrabel found out during his press conference the other day that the Patriots, despite being in the mix for the one seed in the AFC, they're the underdog in this matchup, and this was his reaction.
The people in Las Vegas have you guys as underdogs Sunday night.
Who are the people, Ben?
I guess the odds makers.
There you go. That's what they are. They're called odds makers, not people. There's a lot of people in Las Vegas. Like they only, there's only a few of them that they trust to set the line.
So do you pay attention to that? I mean, do you notice that?
No, I mean, again, it gets brought to attention. I don't think that, you know, I mean, it's every week you see, you know, in this league that records really don't mean anything. And, you know, the point spreads and survivor pools get blown up every week and all that other stuff. So we're just trying to focus on our preparation here and getting back into it. You know, had a good day Monday, excited about the meetings thus far today, and then, you know, progress through.
Brabel, let's go 50-50 on a Circus Survivor ticket together next year. He's paying attention. He's trying to act like he doesn't. You know, there's a famous viral photo of him playing blackjack in a casino. My man gets down. He likes to have a good time. He's one of the boys. Everyone knows that. Braves, come on. Survivor, let's do it. Let's split a ticket, you and me. Come on the show every single week, and we can debate who we're going to take. We'll never go against you guys unless you know for a fact you're going to win. Or you're going to lose, right? Unless you set it up. Could be a nice payday for us. I am not trying to implicate Mike Vrabel, okay? Relax. I'm just having a little fun here. It's late at night. It's Cashing Out, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. As far as this matchup goes, Dawson Knox had a personal issue. He resumed practicing earlier today. Christian Benford, the cornerback, limited in Thursday's practice. Joey Bosa practiced in a limited capacity yesterday. If they're going to win this game, that defense is going to need to step up for them. They're going to need to be at full capacity. They're going to have everyone there. They're going to have their corners show up. try to turn Drake May over, although that's been a really hard proposition for everyone this year, and Bosa putting pressure on him will be massive as long as he is playing in this game. Sean McDermott is 7-1 against the spread when he's revenging an upset loss as a home favorite. Now he goes on the road and he has a chance to upset a loss from earlier in the year in their own building against New England. He's 21-17 against the spread as a road favorite, 22-15 to the under in that role as a road favorite. Vrabel's on a 10-0 straight up run, 10-game winning streak for the Pats. 8-4 against the spread this year, 14-10 covering the number in his career as a home underdog is Mike Vrabel. Now, another game that has divisional implications, this one in the NFC South, is the Panthers and the Saints, where Carolina now is looking to capitalize off of a loss on Thursday Night Football by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And all of a sudden, if they pick up a win, they pick up a game in that division against Tampa Bay. Right now, looking at this number, it's 2.5. Carolina favored. Total of 40.5. I should note, though, on that 2.5, it's juiced at minus 120. We might be getting a 3 here where you can take the points if you like New Orleans. I don't really have a good feel for the side in this game. But Dave Canales, he understands at this point in the season, with everything that they have going on, trending upward, and Tampa Bay stubbing their toe, every game's a playoff game for the Panthers going forward. Right, Dave?
All of them. Every single one from the beginning of the season. You know, I understand how important every single game is as you get to this point in the season. And so you really can't look past any game. Every game is a championship opportunity, just like the one we have in front of us. And we have to maintain that heightened focus and awareness of how important they are. You know, there's nothing worse than over the years. You get through a season and you look back, maybe you squeak in a wild card berth, or maybe you win the division, but you didn't get the seeding that you could have because of a game that got away from you earlier in the season. It's why it's easy for me to sell that to the group, to say, hey, every game is a championship opportunity, and we have one right in front of us on the road against a familiar opponent.
Hold on. Can we do a freeze frame of Dave Canales and put it back on the screen? I don't need to hear the video. What is that hard part? If that's a scar, I don't want to make fun, but I think that's a hard part. Dude. Fire your barber. He's like 3 inches off. It's almost in the middle of his head. I apologize if it's a scar, but it looks like a hard part. It looks like it goes all the way back to me. Dave Canales is a weird cat, man. If you want to look up my favorite author, Dave Canales, look up the book he wrote. Look up the inspiration for why he wrote that book. My man was doing things, and I had to publicly apologize by hitting up a book publisher and telling the world of everything he had going on in his personal life. But hey, he's doing a good job coaching the Panthers. I bet him 30-1 to win Coach of the Year. So I'm into Dave Canales. I would fire that barber tomorrow. I question Dave Canales being capable to lead an organization for many things. One, that book that I mentioned that he wrote about his infidelity and his addictions on the side, cheating on his wife. Also, I question him even more because that hard part, to go out of the house looking like that and not put a hat on, I don't know how you look anyone in the eye. By the way, Kellen Moore, 9-4 to the under this year, 0-4 against spread as a home dog, but I don't love Carolina as a favorite, so I'm going to stay away from that game. Instead, we're on Rico Dowdle, over 13.5 rush attempts. If you missed it the first time, I got good news for you. We're giving you one last chance to score an unforgettable Vegas weekend at Circa Resort and Casino. Right now, the first new 100 VSiN Pro annual subscribers who sign up using promo code CIRCA will receive a free 3-night stay at the Circa Resort and Casino January 2nd through the 5th, plus a day bed at Stadium Swim during the final weekend of the NFL regular season. Plus, you'll get 50% off a full year of VSiN Pro. This is your last shot at the Circa giveaway. Don't wait. Lock in your spot now. VSiN.com/Circa. Use the promo code CIRCA. That's VSiN.com/Circa.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Dustin Sweetelson here at the Circa Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas, hanging out with you all night long. A lot to get to here over the course of the next hour and 15 minutes. All the best bets we'll have when it comes to the NFL this week. We will also talk a little college football. We have a bowl game. We have Army-Navy. We also have college hoops to discuss with our buddy Colby Dant coming up here in about 45 minutes on the program. And then in 15 minutes, we go behind the counter over at the Westgate Superbook. Arthur DeCesar will be with us. We'll find out where the big money is going. And one game that I expect more money to come in on the favorite is the Kansas City Chiefs and the Los Angeles Chargers. We opened KC minus 4.5. We're up to 5.5. I think we're touching 6. Maybe there's buyback at 6, but I do think we're going to get to 6 here. And it's a confluence, nailed it, of events coming together. And when it comes to the NFL, it's very much a 500 league, even though you actually can't go 500 anymore unless you tie. But you get what I'm saying. Everything kind of comes back to the pack. So what I like to do, if there's an opportunity to look for a team that is coming off of a really good win and a team coming off of a really bad loss, I like to fade whatever happened most recently and do the opposite. So with that, I think Kansas City is the side here. They're coming off a really bad loss to the Houston Texans. The Chargers feel good. Short week, though, after beating Philadelphia at home. Now they have to go to Arrowhead against an angry Kansas City team. Season on the brink. They have to pull out all the stops if they're going to get in the playoffs. And they need a lot to go right on their side. But it's going to be cold weather. And the Chargers have lost their identity of being able to run the football against the elite run defenses. I think it's going to be an issue on the road at Arrowhead where that crowd is going to be fired up. Patrick Mahomes is not used to being in this situation. Since becoming a starter with Kansas City, he's used to cruising through the regular season, winning MVPs, and then running over everyone in the playoffs. And he says he knows the deck is stacked against them right now.
We're in unprecedented territory. It's a place that we haven't been since I've been here. And so I think you lean on the guys that have kind of battled through adversity and came out better on the other side. And so that's Chris, Trav, all these guys that have won championships. You know, it hasn't always been pretty, but it'll really test us to see what type of character we are. And I think we got the guys in the room to do it.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see if you got the dudes, man. The offensive line's still an issue. Nobody talks about that with Kansas City. If I was betting this one, I would look to the under. I think the under is the way to go. I think late in the year, the under is the way to go with the weather being worse. But again, you're betting an under with the game with the Chiefs. I expect Jesse Minter's group for the Chargers to show up. By the way, Jesse Minter, there will be no distractions about him going back to Michigan to replace Sherrone Moore, because I believe he's part of that show cause with Jim Harbaugh. But maybe that whole Sherrone Moore situation was a distraction for them, as their former coworkers had a really, really bad week in Ann Arbor. Justin Herbert was limited in Wednesday's practice. It was just a walkthrough. Ladd McConkey was limited as well. Mahomes practicing in full, but he's got a banged up knee coming into this game. Harbaugh has really good numbers, though, coming into this matchup. 9-0 against the spread in division with the Chargers. 3-0 against the spread when after playing on Monday Night Football with the Chargers. 10-2 against the spread when the total's between 35.5 to 42. And 4-2 against spread as a dog with the Chargers. 5-2 to the under in that role. Andy Reid's 15-9 covering the number off of a home loss. He's 72-37 to the under as a home favorite with the Chiefs. It's a low number, but I think under 41.5 is the way I look. I think both defenses dictate how this game goes, and Kansas City looks for a chance late to end up winning this thing, and I think they do find a way to do so because they're the offense that I trust the most in this matchup. So that's where we stand with that one. Another fascinating game is the Lions and the Rams, and we have to monitor the status of Devontae Adams. Hamstring injury, did not practice yesterday. The Lions have a plethora of their own injuries. But the hype behind this game, as we currently have the Rams laying 6 and a total of 54.5, that is a 1.5-point move on the side up from 4.5 to 6 with LA laying it, is the quarterbacks taking on their former teams. Matthew Stafford goes from Detroit to the Rams, wins a Super Bowl year one. Jared Goff goes from the Rams to the Lions. And honestly, it's been good for him too. I feel like the trade worked out for both teams. The Rams got their Super Bowl. The Lions are the closest they've ever been to a Super Bowl. So I think things have worked out. And Sean McVay says when he watches his former pupil, he likes what he sees from Jared Goff.
I see outstanding maturity. I see outstanding growth, ownership. You can see they give him a lot of things at the line of scrimmage, mic point IDs, calling multiple plays, getting in and out of the right looks, whether that be in the run game or in the pass game. Unbelievable accuracy and anticipation. Jared's played really great, you know, and I've been truly happy to see, you know, what he's done and how he's really put that team on his back and done such a great job of being able to build. You know, I've been very open and very clear about, I had a lot of growing up to do, you know, back when that thing went down. There was a lot of great memories, a lot of really good ball that he did here that I'll always cherish. And I'm truly happy for him, you know, married, has a beautiful little girl now. And so, it's awesome to see. And, you know, I think I'm reminded of those things. And then you're also reminded of, you know, when you need to be able to grow up and handle things a little bit better, and I'll never run away from that. And what I'm grateful for and appreciative of is that he's got such, you know, grace towards me and understanding, and, you know, I'm happy for Jared.
I when people look at this game, they're just assuming with the injuries the Lions have that the Rams are going to put it on them. And I anticipate a high-scoring game. The total tells you that. Total's 55 here at Circa. That is a really high total for an NFL game. And the Rams are the more balanced team. They're the better overall team. But I think you always have to factor in how bad the Lions need it. And they're going to pull out all the stops. Whether it works out for them, but in a situation where one team doesn't need it that badly, although the Rams do need it to potentially be the one seed in the NFC, The Lions are still fighting for a playoff spot. There's nothing guaranteed right now. And coming into this matchup with the Rams, right now Detroit is sitting in the eighth seed. They're 8-5 on the year. They need another win. And if the Bears were to lose in front of them or the Niners, like, things could open up for them to be locked into a playoff spot. But right now, because they're fighting and they're clawing, they just need it. It's not the best reason to bet a team, but I'd also bring these to the table. Dan Campbell's 15-10 against spread as a road dog. He's 16-4 against the spread as a dog of 3.5 to 9.5. He's 12-2 covering the number on the road when the total is greater or equal to 49.5. And McVay, for as great as he is, in my opinion, the best coach in the NFL, he's only 29-28 against the spread as a home favorite. I think the Lions just do everything possible to stay in this game. I don't know if they win it, but I wouldn't be shocked if they did so, just because Dan Campbell's able to galvanize, and he's kind of at his best when his back's against the wall. It's almost like when he has free reign and he can be a little bit looser, things don't work out as well, but the pressure's on. I trust Dan Campbell to find a way to make this game stay within that number of six right now. Speaking of the North, let's go to the Packers, who are taking on the Broncos this week and what I anticipate being a slugfest defensively. Now, Josh Jacobs is the guy to watch in terms of injuries. He called himself day-to-day after his knee stiffened in week 14. Pat Bryant for Denver did not practice on Thursday. We had a couple of receivers, Reed and Golden, were limited on Wednesday for the Packers. We'll see what happens, but it's a big situation for Bo Nix going forward the rest of the way this regular season. He has 21 wins in two seasons. Did you know he is three behind Russell Wilson for the record for wins in their first two seasons? He had 24 Russell Wilson, so Nix with three left has a chance to catch Wilson in that regard. But as far as Jordan Love is concerned, this offense has a battle in front of them. Denver will cover your receivers tightly. They will pressure the quarterback. Nick Benito, Jonathan Cooper, that entire group expects to have Jordan Love running for his life. And Jordan Love says this about the Packers offense here.
The biggest part of our offense is finding those explosive plays. You know, we got some big time playmakers, and obviously since Christian's been back and got healthy, he's been stepping up and making some huge plays. And I mean, you can see on that play right there, just the speed he has, his ability to, you know, create those yards after the catch is something not a lot of guys can do, but he's been great. He's been playing at a high level, but like you said, I think the key to our offense is finding those explosive plays and putting the pressure on the defense and taking some of these shots down the field. And guys are making plays right now.
Yeah, he's talking about Christian Watson, who's clearly the guy that Jordan Love trusts the most, has the most chemistry with, and he's really a dynamic dude, man. He makes a lot of plays in space with the football. I just don't know if those plays are going to be here against Denver. I mean, you guys know this. I've talked a lot of smack about the Broncos. It's mostly about Bo Nix, but if I'm betting this game from a side perspective, I'd think about Denver +2.5, hope for the 3 points. I already placed a bet on the under. I love the under because Jordan Love is a guy I trust when he can throw in rhythm. And I like him better when he's risking the football, but this is not the matchup to do that. I want him to be aggressive, but you can't do that against Denver, especially when you're in Denver at Mile High. That's a recipe for a disaster if you're going to go do that and try and call your shots and take some chances and throw some 50-50 balls. Those DBs will rip your heart out. They'll end up intercepting you. So this is a game where I think that he needs to trust LaFleur, who likes to be a little bit more conservative with the football, and keep things simple. Let the defense keep you in the game in the fourth quarter. You just have to make more plays than they do, but do not do anything to turn the ball over against Denver. Reaching people is easy. Reaching the right people is everything. Mission Media helps your brand do exactly that. Mission Media is the exclusive advertising partner for VSiN. You'll get direct access to one of the most loyal, engaged, and bet-ready sports audiences in the country. These are fans who engage, who respond, and convert. If you want your message in front of people who actually take action, Mission Media can make it happen. All you have to do is visit VSiN.com/advertise or email us at advertising@VSiN.com.